Hello, welcome to Larry Reedy's America. This is the whiskey version. And tonight, we have Steve Ollier with us, and we have Greg Dierberg. And Mike Spreckelson could not make it tonight. Something came up. So, off air, Greg and Steve did some blind whiskey tasting, and we're going to get into that right now, and we'll talk about other things a little bit later. Okay, Greg, why don't you start this one off?
Okay, number one, this is a nice and dark appearance, and it seemed to me like it was probably the darkest of the bunch of the four. So I gave it a 9. The nose was a very nice nose. Reminded me of maple syrup. Gave it a 9 as well. Taste, again, maple syrup, caramel, whatever. I normally say caramel, but I don't know why I said caramel.
Because everybody else.
Potatoes, potatoes.
Yeah, but I gave it an 8. And the finish was nice, but not one that hung around forever, you know, like I'd have wanted. Gave it an 8, so I, overall 34.
Okay. Steve?
The appearance, I gave a 9. I thought it was a nice dark color. Had a nice viscosity to it. Nose, I got a lot of green apples, cocoa, and some tobacco. I gave that an 8. The taste, I got roasted almonds, tobacco, leather, some burnt caramel on it. I thought it was really nice. I gave that an 8 as well. The finish, I had hoped for more after enjoying the nose and the taste. I thought it would have a better finish. I dropped that down to a 7 for a total of 32.
Okay, Steve, go ahead and with number two.
Two, I thought it was pretty light. I didn't think it had much leg at all, so I gave it a 6 on the appearance. Nose, I picked up cooked peaches and maple syrup. I thought it was pretty sweet. I gave that a 7. The taste, I got some coffee. I could actually, normally I would taste cedar or smell cedar, but I thought for some reason how you kind of take smell and taste, I could taste cedar and then spearmint. And I gave that a 6 on the taste. The finish, I thought it was kind of short. I finished off with a little pepper. Overall, it was a little sweet to begin with, and black pepper on the finish. Died right about mid-throat, so I gave that a 6 as well for a total of 25.
Okay, so... Why don't you start off one with number three?
Okay, on three.
Well, hold on. You better let me do two real quick.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
It's age.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Hey, I don't know where I lay stuff down. My wife, I always have to ask her, where's my keys or whatever, you know? But usually I do know where I lay it down, so usually she moves them. So number two, I thought it was like kind of like a medium dark. It definitely not as nice as the first. Gave it a number 7. The nose, to me, reminded me like leather, some ethanol, and vanilla. So I gave it an 8. I mean, it was a good nose. It was a little different than what I'm used to, but it was pleasant. So I gave it an 8. Taste, I had some vanilla, some corn, and almond. I thought it tasted very nice. Scored it a 9. And the finish was kind of same as number one. You know, it was nice, but it didn't hang around forever. You know, I mean, it was decent. It just, I longed for more. So I gave it an 8. And I got to tell you, I started looking at this bourbon flavor wheel. I've never done that until this taste. That's why I'm describing notes that ain't nice versus, you know, hey, they taste like this, they taste like that, you know. Because I don't know what the hell I'm tasting. I just know that I'm tasting good or bad.
Yeah.
But when I look at this flavor wheel, it gives me an idea of what I'm tasting, because I can't figure out what I'm tasting besides that. You know, I just can't off the top of my head rattle and say, hey, I'm tasting this. I just know if I like it or not.
Right.
So the flavor
I think I think it's a great guide. Yeah. Okay, then. Greg, why don't you start off with number three?
So three, you know, the appearance was a little above average. Nothing spectacular. It was definitely lighter than the first one. I scored it a 7. The nose was very sweet nose, heavy vanilla. I gave that a 9. And I thought that that was the best taste of the night. I was getting vanilla, and I was trying to think of what in the hell I'm tasting here besides vanilla, and while pear's not on the bourbon flavor wheel, that's what I came up with. So it was like kind of vanilla and pear, and I gave it a 10 for the taste, and the finish was nice and long, but it was mainly on the back of the tongue. It wasn't so much kind of like going down into your stomach. It just kind of like lingered on the back of my tongue. It didn't, but it stayed there, which I think it was probably the best finish of the night as well as taste, but it didn't like go deep down inside, you know, like some of that stuff does.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 9. Overall score, 35.
Well, okay, Steve?
Appearance on this one, it was nice. I gave it a 7. A little bit above average. The nose, I got a lot of almost like a spiced banana bread type of thing where you're getting all the baking spices. I got bananas and a lot of vanilla. Very sweet. I gave that an 8. On the taste, my mom used to make a apple pear pie, and that's what I got on the taste, was that apple pear pie with a la mode. Where the vanilla came in. We get a little vanilla ice cream on top of that apple pear pie with all the spices like cloves and cinnamon going on. So now I'm kind of hungry. But it was good. I gave that a 9. I thought that was the best taste of the night. And the finish, I gave that an 8. I thought it started out nice and sweet and then ended with a sweet, with just a little bit of spice, but that sweetness stayed throughout. Total of 32.
32. Okay, and start off with number 4.
Number 4, I thought it was a nice appearance. It was dark, viscous, gave it an 8. On the nose, I got roasted nuts, tobacco, and for some reason, paint thinner kept coming through, so not quite as pleasant. And because of that, I dropped it down. The roasted nuts in the beginning with the tobacco was good. I ended up giving it a 6. The taste, a lot of corn came through. Baking spices, the cloves again, a little rye. I gave that a 6 as well. And then I thought the finish was pretty short and dry. I also gave that a, I actually gave that a 5 for a total of 25.
That's funny how that works, isn't it? Because same thing I got wrote down. The appearance, it was on the darker side for sure, but there's a whole lot of bourbons darker. So I gave it an 8. You know, it's definitely, even though it was dark, it wasn't some of the darkest I've seen. The nose, to me, was oak. You know, I was kind of thinking it kind of smelled maybe like a double-barreled thing. Oak or toasted, you know. The taste, to me, was oak and walnut. And so I'm going to go with it's a very wood bourbon, you know. To me, I don't know what oak, I've never chewed on oak, I've never chewed on walnut, but I have cracked walnuts open, and to me this tasted like eating walnuts from the, you know, if you crack a walnut open and start eating it, that's kind of what it tasted like to me. The finish, very weak. I gave it a 5. The taste, I gave a 7. The nose, I gave a 7. And the finish was a weak 5. You know, it just, I'm not sure why the finish just dropped off to nothing, but there was nothing there.
And total?
Total 27.
27. Okay, number 1. Basically, I look at all these, and the viscosity, they all You would cling a little to the glass. I couldn't see. I gave all of them a 9 for appearance because I can't really tell the difference. I mean, just, you know, maybe it's the eyesight or I just don't know. And I could see that one was a little bit darker, but I don't know if that.
One and four, I thought, were standouts as far as darker.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason.
Yeah. Hey, Larry. I'm telling you, man, my eyes ain't worth a damn.
No, there's a reason. Okay, let's. So 9 on. I gave the nose an 8. I gave the taste an 8. And I gave the finish an 8 for 33. That's the Salmon Scott Barrel Select Rye store pick. And it's 102.1 proof, 5.5 years aged. And knowing that was a rye and the other two were bourbons, both the ryes just a little bit darker. But,
yeah,
you know, with me knowing that.
You know, with you, yeah, I was going to say, Larry, you know, with you, have you ever thought that it might, with you knowing what they are, does that kind of like, you know, I mean,
I'm prejudging.
Like, yeah, prejudge.
Well, whatever. And not only that, most of your ryes are always just a shade darker than most of your bourbons. And so I couldn't give the rye a 9 and the bourbon an 8 because I knew the rye was going to be darker to start with. So,
yeah.
So, number 2, again, appearance a 9. I gave the nose an 8. I gave the taste an 8. And I changed. I gave the finish an 8. I started with a 6. Then I thought, no, that's wrong. Then I came back with a 7. And I thought, it's better than that. But it's I progressed. So I gave the finish an 8. And again, total of 33. 116.4 proof, ages 5 years, Cardinal Spirits, barrel proof, barrel select. The third one, again, this one, I had problems trying to figure out what the taste was. I knew I liked it, but I wasn't overwhelmed that it was great. You know, I liked it. Appearance 9, nose was 7, taste was 8, and I gave the finish a 7. Might have been a little bit generous, I thought, but all in all, it was pretty good. I thought it held the taste. Didn't give you that long burn or anything, but I thought it held the taste pretty well. And 116 proof, age 4 to 6, New Lou bourbon.
New Lou.
And I thought all 4 of these were really good in their own way, but I didn't think any of them had anything in common. I mean, I didn't think, you know, I couldn't compare one to the other because I thought they were that different.
Very different. Yeah.
So, okay, number 4. Appearance again a 9. And the nose I gave an 8. Taste I gave an 8. And again, I went from a 4 to an 8 finish as I kept drinking it. And I wound up giving it a 7 as a finish because it tailed off after the 3 sips, and it came back in about the 5th sip. So I got a little confused. There was enough pepper in it for me that I came with a 7. I thought was fair. So. Again, we got 110 proof, 4 years, and it's a Willet rye. So, total 32. So my number one and number two came out with 33s. The Nulu number three was a 31. The Willet Rye was a 32. And I think they were all, to me, they were all fairly close, but they were also totally different. I liked all of them.
Rye, was that a like a family reserve?
I believe that's what it was. I got this at the store.
What's the proof on it?
Was 110, okay. 4 years.
So that's the family estate reserve.
I believe so. Yeah, I think so.
That's weird because, you know, that's my lowest one. And
mine too.
Yeah. But when I've had it, like the bottle I got at home, I mean, obviously they're probably different blends or whatever. But the bottle I got at home I thought was fabulous, man.
Well, see, the advantage that I have is I only drink one of these every night. I don't compare them. When I'm done, I rated how I felt with that. And I think what happens when you're doing that blind taste, you're comparing what you had before, where I'm just comparing whether I liked it or not.
Yeah, what you got going at the time.
Yeah. I'm drinking the full 4 ounces.
So by the time he's done, it's getting better and better because he's getting looser and looser.
What's that?
It's getting better and better because he's getting looser and looser.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an 8.
But it is, it's, I think, you know, somebody like Fred Minnick, I like him. He's great. I think he's got great taste buds. He knows what he's doing.
He's the guy I trained.
Huh?
I trained him.
Oh, I figured that. Yeah.
I showed him how to wear a mascot. So
yeah.
Whatever.
I trained Harvey Cluck.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is different. And I think when I did a taste with Alan and Mary Stanger, and I tasted 4 of them, they were all around 90 proof, and a couple of them I didn't care for, and they rated them better than me, but they knew what they were drinking also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think my scores are probably always going to be higher than everyone else's, unless I really don't like something.
Well, I got to say something that it kind of, with what you're saying about it was a husband-wife.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny about that to me is that, you know, when you're around people and you discuss things, especially if they knew what they were drinking, right?
Well, I don't know if Mary did. I know Alan fixed.
Okay.
I don't know if she
did. But I've, watched some of these YouTube videos, and not necessarily a husband-wife, but, you know, when you got a pair of people there, it's almost like the influence, because they're not grading it first and then talking about it. They're like,
they're, you know, still
one starts talking
go.
About it, then the other one jumps in, and it's like, I really think that a lot of them are influenced by the previous guy.
Oh, yeah, because you don't want to be totally...
Yeah, you don't want to be something different.
Totally opposite of what
most people
saying.
By nature, excluding me, want to fit into society.
Yeah, I'd rather be adversarial, man.
What's that?
I'd rather be adversarial than be opposite of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially me.
but you know, I think it's a lot easier. Like if you take one of these home and drink something like I do, 4 ounces, and just grade that, and do 3 nights in a row, do 3 other bottles, mm-hmm. and then look at what you have. I mean, I don't total anything up. I just, what I do is I do this, I want to grade it. I kind of put this aside like this, and then I do the next one, but I do it, you know, 4 nights in a row, 4 different drinks, and I'll do the high proof, and then I do the low proof, you know, but if I'm doing low proof, it's 4 nights in a row to taste it. And that's what I bring to the table here. But it's just different.
Yeah.
And because I knew when I was doing that taste test with Alan and Mary, I didn't particularly like it. When I got through the first one, I didn't particularly like any of them. Yeah. I mean, they were. I knew these weren't top shelf, and he didn't mean them to be top shelf, but and they weren't, but they were all drinkable. It's something that you, if you wanted an everyday drinker and an inexpensive, it's good. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, I think like 1792, that's a great low proof everyday drinker for somebody. But I think Wild Turkey 101 is, Maker's Mark, you know, all of them are everyday drinker if you want them.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but it's...
Hey, just to give you a heads up, I contacted Fry Ranch.
Yeah.
And they put me on their mailing list, but they said that they got some new stuff coming out.
They have
barrel proof. That just be on the lookout, she said.
Well, see, it's Saturday, everything was this past Saturday, but you had to be at Fry Ranch to get one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, now, I did see where they had a release. It was like a 3-grain versus the 4-grain. Something
like that, but hot barrel proof.
Yeah.
And, once in a while, what they'll do, if you're on the mailing list, they'll send an email to you, say it's going to be available, so many bottles till it runs out. And when I saw that, I got that. That's when I got a line order two of them.
So you got them shipped straight from them, not like through somebody else?
No, straight from them.
And you said earlier that you loaded that other barrel strength in the back of my truck?
No, that's a figment.
I could have swore you said that, Larry.
That's a figment of your imagination. But I tell you, that's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they got it going on there, man.
I tell you what, they do.
And, you know, I like a lot of that Texas whiskey also.
Yeah.
I like the Balcones, the Garrison.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little maybe heavy on the oak sometime, almost a burnt oak, kind of almost peaty like a, but boy, it's really.
So what was that real high dollar Garrison? What is that? I remember when we went on a trip a couple of years ago, we went out west and somebody was talking about the Garrison. I can't think of what it's called.
Garrison's got a lot of different bourbons.
Well, what's like their most expensive bottle?
Well, I don't remember, but you got Garrison.
We did.
Oh, is it gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
We got the Balcones.
Yeah, Balcones, Brimstone, and I got about 6 bottles of Balcones. They're really good.
And what is that exactly? Is it a single barrel? Is it a barrel
strength? No, it's all different. They got some that are, you know, 100 plus proof. Their rye is pretty good. Some in the 90s. Some.
So it's like a small batch, I guess, or what is it?
I don't remember, honestly. I got so many bottles I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, because
that's not a bad thing, Larry.
No, I haven't had any Texas whiskey probably in the last month. The last one I had, I believe it was for getting ready for the tasting here, and it was Baby Blue, I think. Huh. I think that was the last one. Which, for a low proof, I think it's 92 proof. I think it's pretty good.
Huh.
So, it's all good. It's just something's better.
Oh, yeah.
They got a single malt, too, that's really good.
What's that?
They have a single malt that's really good, too.
Okay.
American single malt.
Yeah, there's, and I'll tell you, and that some of that Irish whiskey, you've got to try some of that. I mean, it's...
I had tonight at Batesville Liquor, I did try some
Bushmills.
It was
black,
a 10 year. And that was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it tasted nothing like, and the thing was, it was finished in the sherry, right? Whatever that stuff you had, what was that stuff we did last time?
McConnell's.
Yeah, man, there was just something about that made me think it was scotch. I don't know what the hell it was. But
I don't know, but I like it.
I mean, for what it was, I liked it, but if I could have a good bourbon over that any day of the week.
Absolutely. Well, you have to be in the mood. I think it's like anything else.
I'm getting as me thinking it was a scotch. I thought it was a good tasting scotch from the scotches I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't go to it.
Yeah.
If I had, a good bourbon, the choice would be like.
Well, it's kind of like beer. If I was having Mexican food, I'd want a Modelo. And if I was eating Italian food, I'd want a Peroni. And if I wanted to really treat myself and be stupid, I'd have a Kronenbourg 1664.
Yeah?
Because it's...
And I've never heard of none of them, by the way, but...
Well, I think Kronenbourg 1664 is the best beer I've had. Now, I'm not counting the craft beer or anything, but
I ate Mexican, Larry, I'd probably pick a Budweiser. If I had McDonald's, I'd probably pick a Budweiser.
Well, your taste is good, I guess. Yeah. But I there's just something about France and the United States got in a tariff war. They started with the wines, and Kronenbourg now is, what is it, I think?
$17 a six pack?
I think it's $2 a bottle and around $50 a case or something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good, though.
I can't remember if
I told the story back when maybe it was our first go around here. When I was in the service, we were in Italy. And we'd take turns every week buying a case of beer. Well, it was my turn. I went into the BX and I'm looking, man, what can I get that's good? We were making good money over there, $30-some a day in per diem. I see this stuff that's Murphy's whatever beer.
Irish style.
Murphy's Irish whatever style. Yeah. Is that what it was? And anyhow, it was like, I want to say it was like $26 a case compared to like, a case of Budweiser is like $8.
Well, it's like Guinness.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I buy this shit and I take it back to the hotel. We were staying like 45 minutes off base. I take it back to the hotel thinking I got some good stuff. Well, nobody finished a can of it. I can tell you that. Oh. Not one person finished a can.
Well, do you like Guinness?
No.
Oh, I love Guinness. Well,
back then, no. I've had it at Little Charlie's here recently, like on tap, and it's decent.
Yeah.
But I generally don't like anything bitter. And this stuff here, like the can had some sort of a bubble in the bottom that is supposed to be for whatever the flavor, no, whatever.
Yeah, nitro.
Nitro, all this crap. Yeah. So I thought it was some really good stuff, Never tried it, but, neither had these guys. And I took it back, and, man, there was nobody. Well, that finished a can.
Funny story about beer. When I was in the Army, we didn't make much money, and I was usually I would drink the first 15 days. Heineken was a quarter a bottle.
Really?
And then the last 15 days, I'd get the Rotgut Balboa Panamanian beer, which you never knew what it was going to taste like, was a dime a bottle. So... fast forward, one day in early 70s, my wife and I are at Montgomery Inn. And I said, I think I have a Ted's Red. Ted Gregory had his own beer. And he said, well, now, we've got a new premium beer that you might like. I said, well, yeah, what is that? Balboa. I said, are you insane? You putting that crap in here? I said, do you know where that's from? I said, Panama. I don't know what water they're using now. I'm telling you.
Back then, they...
it was, he was charging premium price for it, and I'm thinking, no.
Probably just because it was an import and trying to get it here.
Nobody knows anything about it unless you were there and experienced it.
Everybody blamed the ribs when they felt like crap later.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was awful, but I can remember my first day in downtown Cologne. There was a guy, this buddy of mine said, "Hey, got that steak on a stick." I ate it. It was a little tough, you know, and I was drinking. And I said, "What kind of steak is that?" He said, "It's iguana." Yes, I was eating iguana and drinking beer.
Wow.
Well, anyway, we better wrap this up. It's been fun tonight. It's a shame Mike didn't make it, but he'll be here next time, I'm sure. And any words of wisdom, any thoughts before we leave?
No. Obviously, I'll say that my top two between both tastings was Sazerac Rye and Nulu.
Yep.
So I would think nobody could go wrong with either one.
I know. And what was your top?
The Nulu. I actually like the Solomon Scott. And then Sazerac Rye.
Yeah.
You know, I like the Sazerac, but I'll tell you honestly, I was taking the Solomon Scott Rye as number one, and I take Journeyman. I really, really like that. I mean, for a low proofer.
Oh, those two great that you just mentioned were in a cool second, for sure.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, it's time to, all good things have come to an end, so let's do the national anthem here. And, wrong one. Here we go. Well, these computer things are kind of tough. So, okay, thanks everybody for listening. God bless you. God bless America. Talk to you on the next podcast.